As many of you know, I spend a great deal of time during this part of the year, late fall through winter and early spring, at or near, but rarely in, swimming pools. Both of my kids, right, I should turn that into a riddle, don't you think? Both of my kids are swimmers. Even though one of them is now in college, the one left behind still swims a lot. And there I am as well, not just to cheer him on, but because swim teams rely quite a lot on parental involvement. And I head up the squad of timers for both the high school and the local club team at the Y. I spend many a Saturday and Friday night as well, and the occasional Tuesday night too, not only at the pool, but with stopwatches dangling around my neck. Now, for those of you who've never been to one, don't know, swim meets are long. And dare I say, not the most exciting events to witness. Except, of course, when your own child is in the pool and swimming an event. Since I'm there from before the start of the meet until after the last event, many hours later, I often find myself chatting with other parent volunteers, especially the head official whose post is just next to mine. I also often discover my mind wandering a bit to things that I need to do, things I need to add to my to-do list, or when I realize that there are a bunch of things that I've forgotten to do from my to-do list. And then there are the rare moments of reflection, lessons or insights that pop into my head that offer something a little deeper, a little more significant to ponder and consider. A few of these reflections I've captured in blog posts over the last few years, especially YMCA swim meets, where it's not just about the fastest time, but also about participating, so much so that often you'll see that the lagging swimmer in an event, especially the child who is lagging far behind the others, receives more applause than the child who won. And if you haven't already guessed, that's what I'm going to do today, is offer a little reflection on a recent swim meet. John's first YMCA swim meet of the new season was a week ago yesterday, Saturday before Thanksgiving. There were quite a few thoughts that popped into my head during the course of that swim meet, mostly things that have to do with my to-do list. But there were some other thoughts as well. And one in particular that brought a mixed response, both brought some worry at first, but also brought some hope. And since that's what we're focused on today, that's what I was thinking of as I was thinking of what to say today. Because I know I'm not the only one who is entering this Advent season with some different sorts of feelings, especially in considered in light of the recent presidential election. Swim meets in Maine generally reflect the overall nature of Maine and the fact that Maine is a very homogeneous state, especially in terms of skin color. Maine is a pale place, mostly. At the first swim meet of the season, though, there was a lot more diversity than I've noticed in the past. Not a lot, mind you, but definitely diversity, and not just on the other swim team who had come from Portland. Children and youth of a quite remarkable range of skin color and tone were at the meet. Pale white to light brown to very dark, and on both teams. There was an interesting array of hair texture and arrangement, with one little girl who really stood out to me because she was this tiny little thing and she had this huge pile of long braids in her hair that, of course, when she went to swim, she had to stuff them into a swim cap. And so her head just sprouted this enormous beehive on her tiny little frame. And then there were lots of other things to notice, various shapes of face and shapes of eyes. And there they all were, talking and goofing off with each other, encouraging each other, cheering each other on, competing against each other in a friendly way, with handshakes and fist bumps at the end of the more hotly contested events. When I first noticed the scene, the variety of people on display, especially young people, children and youth, all getting along, all sharing that space and that event, with the stands full of their multicolored families, all there without the smallest bit of suspicion or discord, I found myself filling at first with worry. What is to come? What is happening in the country that we live in? What has been kind of under the surface that is now showing itself? What about all this new chatter about white nationalists and this sort of category of people that probably most of us had never heard of before, called the alt-right? I couldn't help but wonder and worry about what's to come. The president-elect may choose to distance himself from these groups, but the lead up to the election has given some very dangerous and usually on the far fringes of society groups that now seem to have a whole new energy and a new sense of purpose. What happens to the pleasant scene that I witnessed at that first swim meet just over a week ago? Especially given that these are not really groups that are separated. This is community and people who are very much together in families. But then as I continued, because the swim meet of course was long, and continued to gaze upon this picture in front of me, I began to have a renewed sense of hope and hopefulness. Although there is plenty of discord and plenty of a lack of harmony and hope that has plagued this country in which we live, there are moments deserving of hope. And looking upon the young people I saw in action at that swim meet, I was reminded that that scene didn't just happen by itself. It didn't just materialize out of magic. It came to be not just because of policies and laws either. It came to be because of a lot of invisible actions of people just like us. When we look for hope and signs of hope, we so often cast about for what's out there, who and what is going on out and almost away from us, something that will bring hope to us. Let's consider again some of the aspects of the passage from Isaiah today. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of its roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or desire, but what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, the faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, the lion shall eat straw like the ox, the nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. It is not about what's out there only, nor is it about simply the one who will wear righteousness and faithfulness as a belt, who will bring to us hope and peace. Hope isn't just out there. It's in here, in each of us, and in all of us together as church, as a community of faith, as a community of followers of Christ. If you're feeling a little bereft of hope, take a good look around and take a good look in the mirror as well. In the small actions and moments of our lives, we have the opportunity, the calling, to live out of hope, to live out of the vision of being in community, even with those who seem so different. The wolf and the lamb, the leopard and the kid, the cow and the bear. Hope doesn't just happen as if by magic. It takes effort, a conscious effort, an effort that most, if not all, of us have already been about. This really shouldn't be news, but about a renewal, the things that are already important to us and should be even more so now. Do you remember at the end of The Wizard of Oz, after the curtain was pulled away and the wizard became not the great and powerful, but a regular man? And Dorothy's companions thought that all of their efforts to do as the wizard had commanded, that was the only way that they could get their true heart's desire, that had all come to nothing. Because here was this sad, regular guy, and not the powerful wizard before whom they had cowered. But still, it was that man, still the Wizard of Oz, who showed them that what they sought, they had possessed all along. A brain, a heart, some courage. It had all been there. They just couldn't see it for themselves. It seems to me that we are at a time where we shouldn't be spending so much time looking for hope out there, waiting for the magic to happen. Part of the anticipation of Advent, it seems to me, is the coming to the knowledge that what we long for, what we desperately long for, we already have. That to be among God's people, to have faith in Christ, to follow in the way, is to be renewed in knowing that God doesn't bestow these things as if out of nothing, but has given us all the pieces we need. It is up to us to discover them and to rediscover them, to let them capture us, to let them recapture us yet again. Even if for the thousandth time, we have the pieces we need to be a hopeful people. So let us be the hopeful people God calls us to be. Praise be to God. Amen.